ఓం అజ్ఞాంతిని నందస్య జ్ఞానాంజల శ్లోకాయ చక్షురు మిళితమ్యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురువైన జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓకే, సో ఐ విల్ లెట్ యు నో ద రీజన్ ఫర్ స్టార్టింగ్ దిస్ ప్రోపర్ లీలా క్లాస్ ఈస్ బికాస్ ఆల్దో ఐఎమ్ రీడింగ్ ప్రోపర్ మెటల్స్ సిన్స్ అ లాంగ్ టైమ్ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ ఆల్సో reading his leelas in the sense that many devotees are sharing Prabhupada leelas, especially the Prabhupada memories. So it is available online on YouTube. The entire recording is there in YouTube, as well as it is also available in the transcript forms in the Vedavyas. So when I started hearing those Prabhupada memories, I felt that this must be shared with the entire ISKCON community in the world, because whatever Prabhupada has written in the books, if we see his practical leelas, you know, there is a difference. And the difference actually is unique difference. It is not something which is ordinary difference. Someone can easily make it out. But when we actually read Prabhupada's pastimes, the way he dealt with devotees, the way he dealt with outsiders, the way he preached Krishna consciousness, the way he behaved, the way he acted, contrary, you know, many times. So it is extremely interesting and important to understand his leelas, because I think that's a gateway to understand even Gaur leela or Krishna leela. Because when we understand the activities of pure devotee, then we can actually understand the activities of the Lord also to a lot of extent. So now, as you all know, that our CC class, you know, we are doing Madhya leela currently, and during the Madhya leela, I think we have read the chapter 5th probably. And in between, I was feeling, because I kept sharing many Prabhupada leelas in our group, CC group. And then I felt that, you know, devotees are not probably able to get time to read and go through it. So I think it would be wonderful that we can start some class on this. So then I decided that, okay, let me go through all these leelas or whatever Prabhupada has given in the books also, which are extremely important points. Let us go through it. And so we started, like the Madhya leela class, we had interrupted that, and then especially two classes we discussed about Prabhupada leelas. But then I felt that this is too long, you know, this is too much to deal with. So let me start Prabhupada leela separately, and let us continue with the CC Madhya leela, because then the Madhya leela will get stuck at some point. So then I thought that, and another thing is that, you know, I think some of the devotees, they have frequent questions also about certain aspects of Prabhupada's presentation of the philosophy. And I think many questions are there amongst devotees. So I felt that it's a good way to communicate with the devotees, to be in touch, especially the devotees who are in the West. They can connect, and you know, I can try to answer as many questions as possible using Prabhupada's leela theme, you know, as a base. So this is the main reason why, you know, I felt that, okay, we should do Prabhupada leela also. See, my personal emphasis is that I want to be connected with Prabhupada leela, Gaur leela, and Krishna leela simultaneously. So this is the reason why I read also all these three books simultaneously. Generally in my reading, I have a very good reading habit since many years. And I think over a period of time, I have realized that I must read Prabhupada leela, I must read Krishna leela, and I must also read Gaur leela, without which I feel incomplete and dissatisfied. So then I thought that, okay, I have to do this, and I think it will be a good opportunity for devotees to come together, especially during this corona time. It's a lockdown phase, so at least till the lockdown is there, we can, you know, discuss Prabhupada pastimes also. So what we'll be doing, I wanted to make sure that if I am narrating something, I should not miss anything. And I should present the leelas as it is. So I felt that it's better that I read, or our devotees, they will take turns and they will read what we have shared in the group. And after reading, you know, we can, I can give my comments, and, you know, devotees can also give their comments, and they can also ask questions. And then we can have a nice ishtagoshti about Prabhupada leelas. And we can probably mature in a very practical way, the understanding from Prabhupada's leelas. So one particular example which I have already given earlier also is that, like, you know, for example, Prabhupada writes in his books in various conversations, in the letters that Lord Ramchandra's appearance, it should be observed till sunrise, just as the way we do it for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Okay. Moonrise, not sunrise. So, but we find that Lord Ramchandra's appearance, we break the fasting at noon. Everyone agrees on that? I think you all must be fasting till noon, not till moonrise, right? Is this correct? Anyone is fasting till moonrise? Anyone very eager for fasting more? Any great Vaishnavas here? Hare Krishna, are you all there?
Anyone?
Are you all able to hear?
From our temple, the directive is fast till noon.
Fast till noon. Okay, so I'm pretty sure. What about other temples in India, outside India? I think every temple is doing it till noon, right? Haribol, are you all able to hear? I'm not getting the responses.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, we are here. Prabhuji, what?
Hare Krishna Mataji, welcome. Krishna Mataji. So, has Nikhil Prabhu also joined?
Nikhil Prabhu has not joined yet, Prabhuji. He has some deadlines he's working currently. If he gets free, then he will join.
Okay. So, other devotees, are you all able to hear me? I am awaiting the response.
Yes,
so, till when do you observe Ramnavami?
Fasting till noon, Prabhuji. 12 o'clock, yes, noon.
Okay.
Fasting till noon.
Okay, so unanimously, I think everyone is saying 12 o'clock noon, right?
Yes.
So now, but if you read Prabhupada letters, or if you read the conversations, or if you read, in some of his books also, I think he has mentioned that Lord Ramchandra's appearance should be observed in the same way as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Okay. But we see that we break the fast at 12 noon. Now, I think this particular controversy was presented to the Shastrika Advisory Committee, and they did some research on this, and they came out with a solution, and they actually mentioned in that although Prabhupada did say in his writings that one has to observe till Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, but practically, when Prabhupada was present with his disciples, and when the occasion was Ram Navami was there during Prabhupada's time, it was observed that Prabhupada asked the devotees to break the fast at 12 noon. So that was a general trend that time. Okay. So many disciples of Prabhupada in many temples, when Prabhupada was there, in Prabhupada's presence, they broke the fast at 12 o'clock in the noon. So now we see that, okay, there is a difference between theory and there is a difference in practical example. Okay, so similar examples we are going to discuss now, because there are many things which we think probably Prabhupada gave according to the books, what he said in the books is the ultimate thing. But it's not necessary, and probably it can be adjusted to some degree also. Obviously, theory is required, because without theory there is no practicality also. Without theory, practicality cannot exist. And without theory, we cannot even set a standard. So obviously a theory has to be there. Like for example, Rupa Goswami very clearly states in the Bhaktisamrita Sindhu that if you want to attain perfection, or if you want to go back to Godhead, then you have to attain the state of prema. Right? And then obviously there are 9 stages from Shraddha to prema. So if you cross over the state of anartha nivritti, you reach the state of nishtha. But then beyond Nishtha, there are stages up till Prema. Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhav, Prem. So now, this is a roadmap which Rupa Goswami has given to us. Now, but is it, are we seeing that any devotee, they are reaching the state of Prema or Bhava? I think even the GVC and the senior ISKCON leaders, probably they will also say that it's extremely rare that, some devotee at the state of Bhava. So does it mean that only one out of million will go back to Godhead? No. Because Prabhupada made it very clear and simple that if you give your life to Krishna, in the sense that if you dedicate everything to the Lord's service, then He will take you back to Godhead. By Prabhupada's mercy, we go back to Godhead. In fact, something very interesting. So one time, you know, the first time when the disciples of Prabhupada went to Vrindavan, so then Prabhupada was showing them Vrindavan around. And then he asked the disciples that, so do you like Vrindavan? And so the disciples said, yes, Prabhupada, very much. So Prabhupada said, from this day, Vrindavan is yours. So Prabhupada said like that. So then devotees were happy. So this is shared by our Deen Nandi Prabhu, who is now one of the Vrajvasis in Vraj, and Prabhupada, you know, disciple. So he was sharing this, that Prabhupada asked the disciples that, do you like Vrindavan? And they all agreed that yes. And Prabhupada said, okay, so Vrindavan is yours. So Deen Nandi Prabhu was sharing his realization that with a flick of stick of Prabhupada, he can give you the entire Vrindavan. So then he can actually give you the entire spiritual world. So what to speak of, you know, everything is possible. By Prabhupada's grace, you can attain everything. So this particular Leela is shared by Deen Nandi Prabhu in Prabhupada's memories. Okay, and so now we understand and realize the depth of Prabhupada's grace, the depth of Prabhupada's mercy to us, and obviously from a practical point of view, we understand many things. So now the question is that, okay, without Raghunuga Bhakti, how can one go back to Vrindavan? Because, you know, we know that by theory, we know that if you don't practice Raghunuga, you cannot enter Vrindavan. You cannot follow the fixtures. You don't follow footsteps of Vrajvasis, then you cannot enter Vrindavan. But here Prabhupada gave us Vrindavan. And then obviously, whenever Prabhupada is giving benediction or is promising something, he's always saying that you'll go back to Godhead in this lifetime. You'll go back to Godhead. He never said you'll go back home. He said you go back home, back to Godhead. Always. And we know from our scripture analysis that back home, back to Godhead. And you know, even for Krishna, he did the same thing. Prabhupada was called Krishna as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why this Supreme Personality of Godhead and such a big word is, you know, used to describe the Lord? Why repeatedly Prabhupada mentioned like this? Why repeatedly Prabhupada said, you'll go back to Godhead in this lifetime? I mean, he could have easily said, you'll go to Vaikuntha for sure. You'll go to Goloka for sure. But purposefully he actually mentioned, you'll go back to Godhead, back home, back to Godhead. So what is the meaning of this? It's very clear. Specifically he mentioned back to Godhead because it is the head of all the Godheads. Okay. So Prabhupada is sending you to a place which is the head of all the other places. And so similarly, because Krishna is the head of all other avatars, and so, you know, in the same way, Vrindavan is also the head of all back to God, you know, Godheads. So it is the supreme back to Godhead, like that. Just like, you know, Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead. So that is the reason supreme, and then obviously personality, because he wanted to establish very thoroughly that the Lord is a person. He is not impersonal. The highest aspect is personality. That is the reason supreme person, and then back to Godhead. Supreme personality of Godhead, like that. Okay, so what we'll do now is, we'll take turns to read Prabhupada Leelas from where we left off in the last two classes, and then, you know, we'll go through it. Each and every Leela we can stop, and if there are any questions or comments, then we can share. Okay, so now because many of the devotees, they are not part of the Sisi Madhya Leela, so I think myself, Rajiv Prabhu, and I don't know if Nirvika Mataji has joined. So she and Swati Mataji, if she has joined, and I don't know if she can read, but we can take turns and we will read the Prabhupada Leelas that I have shared, and then we can go ahead. Okay, so any comments till now? Anyone has something to share or say?
Yeah,
Prabhupada,
I'll join.
Okay, so we can go ahead now. So I will read the first five Leelas, and then maybe Rajiv Prabhu and then Nirvika Mataji, like that we can go. Okay, I'm just finding the letter from where we start. So it was 30th Jan letter. Okay. So letter to Rai Rama. On 22nd October 1971, my dear Rai Rama, please extend a blessing on in due receipt of the letter dated 11th October 1971, and I noted the contents. I welcome you for your coming back to our society, and you are feeling very nicely the association of devotees. So, Rai Goswami has described that devotional service can be advanced by six processes. Perhaps you know them. They are as follows. Enthusiasm, patience, conviction, following the revealed principles, being honest in one's profession, and in association of devotees. So this Krishna consciousness society is especially meant in people. The opportunity to associate devotees. Devotees means you are following the revealed principles. The goal is to be independent and at the same time become a devotee, because all devotional activities are based on surrender. So in the association of devotees, we learn this important item, how to surrender. But if we keep our independence and try to become devotees, that is not possible. You like to say that you cannot feel any taste for temple life or deity worship. This means you are keeping the same temperament you entertained before, leaving our society. Our process is to accept both the lines of Bhagavat Marg and Panchvatriki Marg. Perhaps you might have seen the picture of the Gaudiya Mission. On one side, there is a Bhagavad book. On the other side, a picture of Lakshmi Narayan for deity worship. You cannot make any progress in devotional service unless simultaneously you follow both the lines. Just as the tracks of a railroad line, both must be there. Similarly, temple worship is essential for purifying us from the material contamination, and without being purified, we cannot glorify the Lord. I have stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is completely pure and we cannot approach Krishna without being purified. So as you say that you do not feel very much encouraged in deity worship and temple life, I see that your disease is still continuing. Under circumstances, simple academic career will not help you. If you want to live with us, you must accept temple life. Namely, cleanly shaven head, observing the regular principles, decorating the body with fillet, etc. You know all these things. So far, your educational work is concerned, I welcome your good service. But if you do not follow temple life and deity worship, it will set up bad example. When I was there in New York last time, I saw that the tendency was there in the press members not to follow the principles. So I said, better to stop the press. Since then, Advaita and others are attending temple worship. Similarly, you must also do the same and chant at least 16. I'm glad to learn that you are eager to preach, but we should know that we cannot preach without being solid in our standing as devotee. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Apani Achari Prabhu Jivere Shikaya. Which means that Lord Chaitanya wanted that one should preach by behaving himself exactly what he preaches. So Krishna consciousness movement preaching depends on personal behavior. If you want to preach the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ and the principles of Bhagavad Gita, you will find so many differences. Those who are following Jesus Christ, let them follow strictly the principles of Bible. Thou shall not kill is now being misinterpreted by the Christian priest. Now they say, thou shall not murder, which means trying to save themselves from the crime of animal killing. So you cannot teach such unscrupled followers the message of Bhagavad Gita. If you want to preach Bible, you can tell them why there will be misinterpretation. In New York, there is a big press that prints Watch Tower. They are forcefully criticizing Christian behavior. I read that one Christian priest allowed a marriage between two men, homosex. So these things are going on. So the proposal for teaching the gospel on the basis of Bhagavad Gita will not be successful. If you want to do that, I cannot check you, but I cannot allow you to do such things from within our society. You have to understand our philosophy perfectly, follow the regular principles, and then in fact you can edit our books and papers. When I shall go to Mayapur, then upon hearing from you of my proposal I mentioned above, I shall arrange for your coming to India. First of all, you have to decide yourself whether you are prepared to surrender to our principles. But if you keep your independence either in Mayapur or New York, your position is the same. You associate with me, you are always welcome, but not with your independence. That will not help me or you. Hoping this will meet you in good health, your L.L. Varishishar is Vinathananda Swami. Okay. So, was everyone able to hear?
When you're talking,
one second. I think I heard Anju Mataji, if I am not wrong.
Because this text is not available with everyone, so you will have to
See, yeah, actually the problem is that I have been posting all these letters, purports, and then Prabhupada Leelas since a long time. Probably, you know, maybe a year or so. So now it's difficult for me to forward it to the group, each and every.
आपने मुझे बताई है कौन सा डेट का आपने ये पोस्ट किया हुआ मैं अभी इधर से लेके इमीडिएटली ग्रुप में अभी डाल देता हूँ ना सबके सामने जाएगा मैं
दैट इज पॉसिबल सो यू सडनली यू कैन फॉरवर्ड दैट द लेटर दैट आई रेड यू कैन फॉरवर्ड इट
राइट डेट वाज दैट यू रेड प्रभु जी व्हिच डेट
30th January
ना ठीक है मैं
अभी I posted this on 30th January okay
so, yeah I'll put it right away
I posted it Rajiv Prabhu once you find it then maybe later once we can post it
meaning आपने 30th January का post किया कि उसके आगे का भी 5-6 डाला है
नहीं 5-6 if you want to post it I posted the one which currently we are going to discuss now 30th so if you want to send it
No problem.
Okay, so it's a good idea. I think it's really good that you know you thought about this. Now what we can do is immediately we can post it after reading. Okay, or maybe you can pre-post before we read it and so that everyone can also read it together. So you only post 5 articles at one time, okay? So that then otherwise it will become a you know, collection of many articles. Okay, so so this is very important that the independence has to be somehow gradually it has to be sacrificed. With time, I think we realize that the independence, the way in which we are acting in Krishna consciousness, we are going to make the least advancement. So then finally, we have to serve in a way that is actually recommended by the authorities. We have to please them. We have to serve them. And maybe we have some, obviously everyone has individuality. So everyone will have different opinion, but if the authorities they want in a particular way to serve us, then we have to sacrifice and we have to do it in that way. And that's the way actually I think we are going to advance in spiritual life more and more. Even I think, you know, today I shared one very nice question answer by Gopal Krishna Maharaj in the Bhagavatam class. He had given certain very important points. He also suggested the same thing. That to the degree the devotee will surrender, to that degree Krishna will desecrate. And so he said that, you know, there are 3 types of disciples and, you know, Kanishtha, Madhyama, Nittama, like that you can say. Or you can say that first class, second class and third class. This is what we call. And if you follow the instructions of the spiritual master before he orders you, that is the first class. Because you understand what is going to please the spiritual master. Okay, so you before his instruction, you follow that. And second class is after he instructs you, then you follow it. And third class is he is instructing you, but still you don't follow it. So that is third class of disciple. And so Maharaj was saying that if you want to be third class, then you will get third class reservation from the Lord. So depending on your surrender, you get that kind of reservation. So this is very important that even during Prabhupada's time, I think most of the Prabhupada disciples, they made advancement because of that, because of their surrender to Prabhupada, not because they knew Krishna from the beginning. See, we as Indians, probably we are accustomed to the idea of worshipping Krishna right from the beginning. Maybe Krishna is in the blood, or it is in our nature to worship the Lord, but it is not the case with the Western. Okay, for them, so whenever Prabhupada disciple, if you ask them, you know, they say one thing, that we never knew what is Krishna, who is Krishna. We only knew Prabhupada. And so by following Prabhupada, they actually made that kind of rapid advancement also. Okay, so this is very important, that finally, whatever thoughts, process we have, it should be given up and we should surrender to the authorities. This is one thing. Second thing is about that Prabhupada has, right from the beginning, he always requested all the devotees to go for two parallel paths, which is the temple park and the Bhagavat, the Panchatrik mark and the Bhagavat mark. So this is very important. Prabhupada, many times he has said very clearly that all the devotees who are living far from the temple, they should worship deities. They should have deities in their house. Otherwise, they will fall down. It's very clearly stated by Prabhupada. So this is very important, that Panchatrik vidhi is actually very important for Grihasthas. If they are not having regular association, if they are not having regular, if they do not visit the temple regularly, if they are living far off, because obviously, it is my experience also that if you go to the temple, the environment is definitely transcendental. Not you know, you cannot compare with your house environment. House, and even if you have deities, still going to the temple is a unique experience. There is no experience compared to that. Or you can say that, okay, if you have association of devotees, sadhu, sangha, constantly, regularly, then yeah, then probably you can say you have that kind of environment. But with the deities, it's a different thing also. We go to festivals in the temple, we can actually see the deities there decorated so elaborately, so magnificently. And, you know, we because of the deity's potency also, the devotees are blissful. Then so many devotees are dancing, doing kirtan, chanting, having katha, prasadam. So it's a package, you know, entire package is there in the temple, which you will not find in the house. So you may have house programs, but then obviously, if you get an opportunity, to temple worship is the best thing. And Prabhupada also said that if there is a conflict between house worship and temple worship, then devotees should give priority to the temple. Okay, so this should be clear, that every Grihastha devotees, they must follow Bhagavat and Panchatrik mark together. So Bhagavat mark is basically Shavanam, Kirtanam, association with devotees, like that. Okay, and Panchatrik is basically deity worship. These two should, and obviously it is also very good factor for balancing our material contamination. It is like nullifying and balancing. So our sadhana, then our the schedule that we follow, it becomes regulated. It very much brings the devotee to a very regulated platform, to a steady platform. You know, that is the reason it is said that Panchatrik mark brings one immediately to a transcendental platform, or you can say the Brahminical platform, which is in the mode of goodness. So that destroys passion and ignorance. Okay, very important. Okay, so anyone has any comment or question on this? Another important point about deity worship is that you get to personally serve the Lord, you get some kind of personal attachment towards the Lord, the feelings that you express with the Lord, the association that you get from the Lord. These are all personal things. So, very, very important. So, any devotee, do you have any question on this? Comment? Hare Krishna.
No problem.
Okay. So when you said that the devotees can have an opportunity to directly serve the Lord, so that it's not necessarily that you are serving as part of the deity worship, or like you're serving in the altar, or like, you know, that doing seva that is being directly used for deity worship. Not necessarily, even if someone is going and taking part in kirtan, that is also direct service to the Lord. Right?
So see, here we are. So Kirtan is, as I said, Kirtan is actually coming in the Bhagavat Marg. And what I'm actually mentioning specifically here is, or emphasizing, is basically on having personal duties. So it is obviously, you know, even if you go to a temple, your connection to the deity will be once in a week, once in 2 weeks, or once in a month. If you have personal duties at your home, then you can have the connection every day. Or if you go to the temple every day, you know, and obviously, how can you go to the temple every day? Only if you are staying very close to the temple every day. Then only you can go. Right?
Oh,
so then obviously
okay.
your connection with the main... Sorry?
No, actually, I was thinking that you are saying that, maybe I heard it wrong, that when you go to the temple, you have an opportunity to directly serve the deities. So, at home, if you have deities, then you have a chance to directly serve the deities. But you should also go to the temple because the atmosphere is congenial for continuing your devotional service.
Yeah. So, see, as I said, let me also reiterate this point. That the first principle is, if you are staying close to the temple, nothing like it. You don't have to have deities also. And obviously, what does that mean? You don't even have to have duties. That means it is assumed that because you are staying close to temple, you will go to temple also regularly. So let's say not every day, but at least 3 or 4 times in a week, or 3 or 4 days or 5 days. Majority of the week days you will go in a week. That is the meaning of saying that you live close to the temple because you are going to the temple. Now, there are devotees who live close to the temple, but they do not go to the temple. So, what is the use of that? And still, they do not have duties in the house. So, that means then there is no advantage of living close to a temple. If you are not able to participate in the activities, that means, or you are not able to serve, then what is the use of staying close to the temple? Okay. So, this is the first principle. Second is, if you are not staying close to a temple, if you are living far off, then it is necessary, according to Prabhupada's recommendation, it is necessary that devotees must have duties in their house. Because, so Prabhupada, said very clearly, if they do not have duties, they will fall down. And I think this is very true because what happens is the schedule of the devotees or the regularity or the commitment of the devotees is compromised. The sadhana is also compromised in the sense of quality. And the type of dedication and the types of perseverance that you require, that is also compromised. If you don't have duties in the house, that means you are worshipping, you are making random plans to serve the Lord. So what deity worship does is, it makes you very regulated in whatever you are doing, very committed. Okay, otherwise, whenever you want, you can get up, whenever you want, you can chant, whenever you want, you can attend programs, whenever you do this, that, you can do. But deity worship is also giving you a chance to personally serve the Lord, because service is also very important. So sadhana is obviously the result of sadhana is that one has to serve finally. If you are not doing service, that means what is the use of sadhana? Right?
So Prabhuji, one question here, and that's because this is applicable to me and maybe other devotees. Even if you don't have deities made of those forms that actually shastras say that deities should be made of. So say you know that we have the plasticine figure of Gauranitai, and then I offer them, make offerings in the morning and in the evening. Although I don't do it always at the exact time every day, but morning and evening. So is that kind of, so do you necessarily have to have deities, like deities in the form like you have, or like...
Yeah, okay. So now, see, again, now when we are discussing in a class, it's a general instruction that Prabhupada is giving to everyone. Now, case to case, it might differ also. So some devotees, they have some genuine problems or they have some obstacles in having duties at home. then it has to be discussed case to case with their respective mentors or, you know, gurus, and that is the way they have to take the guidance. Okay, but this is all we are discussing in a general way. So now, you know, all the devotees, you know, what background you have, why you cannot have details, that I think you are supposed to discuss with your mentors or your gurus, and then you take accordingly instructions. But in general, it's a principle that one must have details at house, because then you will not have a regulated schedule, or you will not be regulated in your, or see, even when you are worshipping deities, you are taking burden for the deities. This is a very important principle. It will help devotees to also take burdens for Prabhupada's mission. It will also take, it will help devotees to also become responsible and come out of the comfort zone and take some responsibility. Just because deities are not there, devotees, they don't feel like doing that. Because deity means, you know, you have to take care of extra two personalities, you know, Gaur Nithai or extra one personality or extra two, three, four personalities like that. So then it's a burden, because every single day you have to do it. It's like, you know, you create your family members, you expand your family members, and you have to do that. But now, obviously, the worship of deities in the house, the standard, is not as high as the way we worship in the temple. I mean, you can make a very small and practical standard in the beginning. You can start with that. And then gradually over a period of time, depending on your services, depending on the schedules, you know, you can increase it or make it, the, you know, make it a steady worship. It's not necessary that you have to increase only, but if you are getting a chance, you increase. Otherwise, at least whatever minimum standard you are offering, continue with that, you know, and that is the reason best worship is the best worship of Gaur Nithai, because they don't take any offenses. A very, very important point to consider for all the devotees. You know, because of our over-enthusiasm, many times we worship Radha Krishna or Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. But then it's not a matter of 1 year, you know, or 2 years. It's a matter of lifetime. Whether, because you are going to take responsibility of them for the entire life. You have to serve them. So you have to make sure that, and I know majority of the devotees, they lose faith in deity worship over a period of time because they do not want to take that commitment. So after some time, the enthusiasm will go down. And that enthusiasm goes down obviously because devotees, they are not continuously, they are associating, or they are not hearing and reading. So because, so these things are all coupled together. You cannot separate anything. It has to be all that's the reason we have Bhagavat Marg, which will also give you the enthusiasm in terms of hearing, reading, chanting the holy name, associating with devotees. That is also very important. If you don't do this, so in one particular class, Radhanath Maharaj mentioned that if devotees, they don't hear and chant and read regularly, then a point of time will come in the future where they will feel that the deities are a burden. So Maharaj said very clearly that point. So it's a parallel process, you know, Bhagavat Marg and Panchatri. If you don't do Bhagavat, if you don't follow Bhagavat Marg properly, you will lose taste for serving the deities also. And if you don't serve the deities, the commitment, the regularity, that will not come in the Bhagavat Marg also. The enthusiasm to serve, the enthusiasm to take responsibility, that will not come in Bhagavat Marg. So there are many devotees who are just hearing, reading, chanting, but maybe they are not doing any practical service. Maybe they are not taking responsibility. So it's a parallel process. That is the reason Prabhupada stressed very heavily on both these things, Bhagavat and Panchatri. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, so this, see, and why Panchatri mark can become difficult to sustain over a period of time, because it involves rules and regulations. Okay, that is actually the most fearful element, that we have to follow certain things which we do not like to do. But by doing it, you know, finally we start liking it. And I think it is very important to also know that Unsacred knowledge definitely is a rule and regulation, but it's not necessary that you have to worship the deities, you know, in that kind of, with that kind of feelings. Okay, with that kind of feeling means you do not force yourself to express yourself towards the deities. The feelings and devotion, it should be in a very spontaneous way. If you do that, then you will be able to also sustain the rules and regulations. So obviously, like, you know, we know that if you follow rules and regulations for a long period, it will become a natural process for you, because then you develop spontaneous attraction, right? So similarly, the deities, you can also worship the deities with a mood of, you know, with a personal attachment towards the Lord. It's not necessary that you always have awe and reverence. Obviously, it's recommended that one should have awe and reverence so that that respect will be maintained, you know, and we will not see the deity as ordinary. But the devotion, the devotional element is actually the most important in deity worship, apart from the rules and regulation. Rule and regulation is actually secondary. The devotional element for the deities is actually the most important. Even in Vaidhi Marg, the devotional element is actually very important. So we have to do with whatever we do, we are, you know, we have to do with devotion. Okay, so any more comments on this? Okay, anyone would like to share something on their experiences of deity worship? I think some of the devotees in our group, they are already doing deity worship since many years. So if they would like to share something, they can definitely. Okay, if no one has any comment, then let's go ahead. So I will now read the next article. Okay, so this is posted. So the devotees, they have posted this article. Yeah, Prabhuji, I have posted now in the media group.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Madhuri.
Prabhu, when you are talking, your voice is clear, but when you are reading, it is very low. Maybe the position.
Yeah, because what is happening is I am on the speaker when I am reading, because my phone, it's in my phone, so I have to somehow read at a distance so I can see it. Okay, so so some other devotee can read now. Let them read, and I think you'll be able to hear them.
Okay, Prabhuji, thank you.
Okay, so Rajiv Prabhu, you like to continue?
Okay, Prabhuji. So the next one is, shows the instructions of the spiritual master, certainly gets direct instructions from his heart, from the city soul. Thus, a sincere devotee is always helped directly or indirectly by the spiritual master and the super soul. This is confirmed with Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasade, Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. If the devotee serves the spiritual master sincerely, Krishna automatically becomes pleased. Yes, the prasada, Bhagavad prasada. By satisfying the spiritual master, one automatically satisfies Krishna. Thus, the devotee becomes enriched by both the spiritual master and Krishna. The super soul is eternally the friend of the living entity and always remains with him. The super soul has always been ready to help the living entity even before the creation of this material world. It is therefore stated here, Renagre Vicharcharta. The word agre means before the creation. Thus, the super soul has been accompanying the living entity since before the creation.
Yeah, yeah. So this point I have been stressing many times earlier that it's not necessary, because the question is, you know, that can the sutras speak only to advanced Vaishnavas or like, you know, devotees who are in bhava and prema. And my conviction was that a devotee can, the super soul can also speak to sincere sadhakas. So this is what Prabhupada confirms here in this purport. So obviously we have to, but you know, there is a difference in what the super soul is going to speak to the sadhaka and to the devotee who is in the state of bhava and prema. Obviously there is a big difference. But yeah, it's a fact that the super soul actually can instruct from within a sincere devotee who is, and now who is a sincere devotee? That is what is most important to understand. Is a devotee who is actually sincerely trying to follow the instruction of the spiritual master. So now see what happens. Because the devotee is trying to connect to the spiritual master, guru, by giving his heart and soul to follow the instruction. So then, because the guru is connected to the Lord, so the Lord also becomes connected to the devotee. It's a chain. You are connected to Guru, Guru is connected to the Lord, and so that's the reason the Lord will also get connected to you. Okay, if you skip Guru, there is a gap between you and the Lord. And so there is no transmission. But when you, so you know, Prabhupada gives the example of the electric plug. If you insert the plug, then you are connected to the source, the electric house. Right? So similarly, you are also connected to the electric house, which is the super soul. Now, Guru and Super Soul. So see, why this happens, why this is true, is very simple. Because the Guru is the external manifestation of that same Paramatma. So when you are in connection with Guru, it means you are in connection with the Paramatma. There is no question, there is no doubt about this. Right? So many times, you know, because this devotee's confusion is there, that, oh, you know, that super soul can only speak to very advanced devotees. Yeah, definitely there, you know, but a sadhaka also, if he is also sincere, and what is the difference, you know, because a sadhaka is, if he is doing bhajan without offenses, very soon he will come to the state of bhava and prema. It's a matter of time. So sincere sadhaka connected to the guru, he will also be connected to the super soul, and the super soul starts guiding sadhaka from within. Now, obviously, in many situations, the super soul will help. There may be certain situations where super soul might instruct, but then sometimes you might have to also confirm with the guru if he is, you know, if you think that certain things are very unclear, then we have to also confirm with the guru. Okay. And when Prabhupada is saying that the super soul is instructing the devotee, it also means that, see, for example, if the guru is not available, if he is not there, and then you are putting your best efforts to serve the orders of the guru, so then there is a time where maybe you are not able to take guidance from the devotees nor from anyone else. So that time the super soul is there, and that super soul is going to direct you, that will help you. That is the reason Prabhupada is saying that, you know, for sincere sadhu devotees, this, you know, the super soul will instruct from within. In fact, many places, many letters, Prabhupada said that if you chant without offenses, follow the regulated principles very strictly, and read my books thoroughly, then all the questions will be answered from within. And many times, you know, because Prabhupada disciples used to write letters to Prabhupada. And many times they used to ask questions, and so many of them were asking from all over the world. So then Prabhupada used to write at the end that don't think too much and just chant sincerely, follow regular principle, read my books thoroughly, all questions will be answered from within. Or Prabhupada said that chant without offenses, chanting will reveal answers from within. So, yeah, so I think maybe devotees might have experienced certain instances where if you have a particular dilemma, then you chant very sincerely, and then maybe, you know, sometimes the Lord is actually giving you a thought or a realization which will satisfy you, which will answer your question. You know, it can happen, you know, in certain instances. So these are all all bona fide ways to actually instruct the disciples. Because this is how Krishna is connecting to each and every devotee. So, you know, many times we may feel separation from the Guru, but that is the reason Prabhupada said that I am not even a second separated from my spiritual master. He is always with me. Right? Because he said that because I am completely surrendered to him, I am following his instruction, each and every instruction of my Guru Maharaj. That's why I am never separated him, even for a moment. Prabhupada said like that. Right? So the meaning is that many times, you know, devotees, they have the craving or they want to have the personal association of Guru Maharaj. They emphasize that more. And they do not emphasize so much on following the instruction of Guru Maharaj, which is a completely wrong direction. Then they are only externally connected. They can never get connected internally. They can never get connected to the Super Soul. So if you follow the instruction of the spiritual master, then only you get access to the Super Soul. And now wherever the Guru may be, and I will tell you one more thing, that it's not that the Guru, even if he is distant, but still you can hear the Guru in the form of, you know, different ways. Like for example, one way is that he will come in the dreams and he will give you relevant instruction. Like, you know, if you have a query or if you are in problem, difficulty in this, you know, while you are serving and you want to get out of it somehow, you know, you want a solution. And so then the spiritual master can come in the dreams and instruct you. That may be a very relevant instruction. And then spiritual master can also come in the form of another devotee. He can also come in the form of a non-devotee and instruct us. So there are many ways a spiritual master can actually come. And that's why we are actually connected to the spiritual master eternally. Not even for a single moment we are actually separated from the spiritual master if we follow the instruction of the spiritual master very sincerely. Because this is how Krishna is manifesting in different ways, through the Super Soul, through different people like that. Okay, so is this clear? Any comment or doubt on this? Any question on this? Okay, probably. Okay, other devotees?
Yes, probably.
Okay. Yeah, we have an army of devotees today, but I feel that, you know, not even a single voice is raised. So, okay, so next article, Prabhu, you may continue.
Okay, Prabhu. Kumar Krishna Goswami. Our Radha Damodar party was quite energetic. By the time a year was over, 40% of the total DDP proceeds came from our party. But we were creating quite a bit of disturbance because some brahmacharis were leaving their temples, wanting to be with the sannyasis, and the sannyasis were saying it's better for the brahmacharis to be with us than to be under these grihastha temple presidents. So by the time we went to India, we brought with us 90 brahmacharis. The Radha Damodar party had the whole third floor of the Lotus building. We were riding the crest waves of success. The Christmas marathon had been a heavy competition between Jaya Tirtha in California and the Radha Damodar party. Rameshwara kept on asking me, how much are you going to give to the book fund? I said, I'm going to send you a blank check. Put it in your safe, and whatever the amount that you forgive and deposit it. And it will clear at the end of the month. I was very determined to defeat them. By the end of 1975 Christmas Marathon, the Radha Damodar Party gave $195,000 to the book fund. We did $250,000 back to Godhead. $250,000 and 60,000 big books, it was a massive thing. But people were getting agitated. In Mayapur, all the temple presidents complained to Prabhupada. I was sitting in the room and Prabhupada was looking at me. When everybody left, I kept sitting there because I thought I better talk to Prabhupada alone. Prabhupada looked at me and I said, I don't know what to do. Maybe I should go to China or something. To go to China was like going to the moon. It was said like that. Anyway, I walked out. The next morning, right in the middle of the aarti, Prabhupada Charan tapped me and said, Prabhupada wants to see you. I said, I'm not going. I mean, I'm not going up to see him and I'm not going to China. Finally, I had to go to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I want you to go to China. I said, China? The Radha Damodar party? I have to be there. He said, no, I want you to go to China. And he walked out to go to the bathroom, brush his feet, and freshen up for his walk. He came back and put on tilak. He said, I wanted to go to China. I started to give excuses that if I go to China, what's going to happen to the party? Prabhupada said, don't worry about the party. His bottom lip started to quiver. His hand was shaking. He said, don't worry about the party. I said, but this is an important service. He said, then I take that service away from you. You have no other service to do now. Either you go to China or you sit in Mayapur and chant Hare Krishna. There's nothing else for you to do. Guru Kripa was sitting behind me and he said, I'll go to China. Prabhupada said, no, he must go to China. I was sitting there going, oh, then I suddenly realized, wait a moment, the Radha Damodar party is meant for Prabhupada's pleasure. And if I went to China, Prabhupada will be pleased, my life is made. So I immediately looked at Prabhupada and said, okay, I'm ready to go. Prabhupada beamed. We went upstairs because Prabhupada would walk around and around on the roof. He announced, Kamal Krishna Maharaj is going to China. Everybody went, Jai Hari Bol. Prabhupada turned this heavy situation into a glorious act. He was so expert. He never said too much about the whole thing. He never said to me, people are complaining about you, or this or that. He found a way to correct the entire situation and open up something wonderful for Krishna. He found a way to turn what appeared to be a negative situation into a positive event.
Amazing technique of show.
So Prabhuji, I'm not clear about one thing. What was the issue? Why was everybody angry with Kamal Krishna Maharaj when he was doing such wonderful service? He managed such a huge distribution of books. So then what was the issue?
If you read Prabhupada letters, when he started the movement till the time he left the world, there were many problems between the disciples also, but because Prabhupada was a center for everyone, so everyone gave up their conflict and they tried to please Prabhupada in the best possible way. So obviously there were many different opinions. There were dissatisfaction among the disciples because of the leaders or because of the godbrothers. They were thinking that, everyone has their nature, when they are serving Krishna. So it is not necessary that everyone would gel up with everyone. Okay. So they had, Kamal Krishna Maharaj had a certain way of doing things. Probably he was heavy in doing things. Even as a guru also, it is quite commonly known in ISKCON that he was quite popular for his heavy nature, for his disciples. So not everyone can accustom to that. And that is the reason, there were various problems amongst the disciples also. But they did their services with a lot of enthusiasm just for Prabhupada's pleasure. So this is the reason, devotees might have some thoughts about the way Kamal Krishna Maharaj was doing his service. Maybe he was in a very passionate way at that time. And then, as Maharaj said, he's sharing his realization that, ultimately he realized that what I'm doing it for, everything is for Prabhupada's pleasure. And most importantly, it is also very important to know that the service that we are given, the spiritual master, the guru, is giving us service. So we have to be grateful for that. Service is always given. Mercy is always given. It is always one-sided. It is not that, they had a business transaction. That Prabhupada gave me service, I am giving him something in return. No. because, you know, the idea is that because Krishna does not need anything from his devotees. He does not need anything from any living entity. And so we are the ones who are supposed to serve him. If we want to attain him, then we are the ones supposed to serve him. And because we have offended him in many lifetimes, that is the reason when he is giving us opportunity, we have to be grateful and we have to accept it with a very, grateful heart. That I am the one who is, committing mistakes in the service, or I am the one who has got the service from the spiritual master. He has created service for me. Anytime he can take it away also. So here Prabhupada also said this, that I am taking this service away from you if you do not go to China. And so sometimes the devotee might feel, or the disciple might feel, that how does a spiritual master or a guru or any devotee or any authority, they can take away one service, because they feel that the service is something which is inherited, you know, something which is given, which is the right of each and every living entity, service to Krishna. That is true. Jivara Swarupa Nistya Krishna Das, right? That is true, that we are eternal servants of Krishna and we have the right to serve Krishna. But it has to be done in a grateful manner. It should be done in a very appropriate way, which is how the Lord wants us to do the service. So see, that is the reason in Krishna consciousness, the most important thing is not how we would like to serve, but how the Lord would want us to serve him. That is the most important thing. And finally, the conclusion is that we are doing everything not to go back to our head. We are doing everything to please Krishna. That is what Tamal Krishna Maharaj also realized. And that's why he said that, you know, this Radha Damodar party also, who has given him that Radha Damodar party? It is Prabhupada who gave him that. It is Prabhupada who actually told the devotees to distribute books. And that's how the entire Radha Damodar party came to be created. And everything was done by Prabhupada. So obviously, if the Prabhupada can remove also whenever he wants to. So this is actually exclusive privilege of the spiritual master guru, or you can say it is the exclusive privilege of the Lord, because the spiritual master is a representative. So the spiritual master is teaching the disciples that the service also that you are getting, it is not something that it is, you are doing it because it's your right. It is given by mercy. That is the reason we say causeless mercy. And causeless mercy means there is no cause for mercy. There is no reason for mercy. Because you did, that's why I am giving you service. No. You are given service. The reason is that's causeless mercy. Because obviously we want to please the Lord. So the Lord is causelessly giving mercy to everyone. So causeless mercy, so we have to know that we have given the service, the spiritual master gives the service, the guru is giving the service. And anytime we can also take it back. If he wishes, we can also take it back. If he wishes, we can also replace the devotee with some other devotee. Okay, so this is called surrender. Very, very tough. Not so easy. So see, that is the reason. Chanting Hare Krishna, very simple. But with your chanting, that surrender spirit should also develop. If that is not developing, that means your chanting does not have an effect. So this was a very common theme for our Prabhupada disciples. They were like surrendered to Prabhupada. And the way Prabhupada cultivated them, you know, he was fanning the spark in them so that, you know, they can make advancement. But obviously all of them knew that the advancement will only come when we are pleased Prabhupada. So that was actually the center point of all the disciples. So very important lesson. So service is also given to us. The holy name is also given to us. What do we own? In spiritual life, what do we own? Nothing. Everything is given to us. Holy name given to us. Service given to us. Sadhana given to us. Whatever you can think of, everything is given to us. Right? So you see, you just imagine the level of dedication these Prabhupada disciples had. I mean, Prabhupada just said, like, you know, you go to China, that's finished. And he went to China later on. Right? See the level of surrender of these Prabhupada disciples. Amazing. So that kind of surrender also should develop within us. If you want to please Krishna. Right? So any question on this? It's so difficult. If you are managing even one temple, you know, and if you are taking a very authoritative position in a temple, then we don't even want to go to another temple, because that will change so many things drastically. Many, many things. So then what to speak of, you know, immediately, suddenly giving an instruction of going abroad, and that to a country, you know, which is full of atheism, and the most degraded country in the entire world, one of the most degraded, China. So our devotees have gone there also, disciples of Prabhupada, they have gone there, and they have tried their best to preach Krishna consciousness. Okay, next. Harivol, next article.
Aduna. I was with Prabhupada many times when he met some of his godbrothers. He treated them very respectfully. The etiquette is that they are supposed to treat the godbrothers of the guru in the same way that you treat the guru. And you are supposed to treat your senior godbrothers, those initiated before you, in a particular way as well. That's traditional etiquette. In the Gaudiya Matha, there is generally an emphasis on senior godbrothers, and Prabhupada also observed this. One time in Montreal, an Indian scholar came to Sri Prabhupada, Janardhan, and I were there. And I edged forward to get close because I wanted to catch every word, and I was a little ahead of Janardhan. Janardhan was not only older in age than me, but he had also been initiated before me. He was initiated at the first initiation Prabhupada did in New York. Prabhupada immediately said, he's your elder brother. You should not sit in front of him. I was ahead of him, a little closer to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you should move back. He's senior to you. A senior godbrother, this is the etiquette. Just like my godbrother, Tirtha Maharaj, used to be called Kunjada. Actually, his name was Bihan Das, but everyone called him Kunjira. The Da means like the older brother or like the uncle. Everyone called him Kunjira because he was one of the most senior godbrothers. Similarly, Janardhan is your Da. He is your elder brother. Hello? He is your elder brother, so you should give him respect. You should not sit before him. That was.
So, what are you doing now?
Angi?
What are you reading now?
Pradyumna. This is by Pradyumna.
Okay, one second. That's a very short one, no?
Sorry?
That Kadimba article is a very short one.
No, no, it's reasonable. Aap dekhiye SP Leela group mein, SP Leela group mein, abhi Leela group jo aapne...
Yeah, you have forwarded, I know. So, abhi jo Samaj Vishnu Maharaj ka read karne ke baad, what you are reading of Pradyumna, it's a very short article.
No, it doesn't appear very short. It's okay.
Yeah, so I wanted to comment on that. So,
Okay.
You read now about the Kirtan thing. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I just wanted to like interrupt in that. And so, you know, what he's sharing is that, yeah, so it's a very important principle also to understand that Kirtan is not for our pleasure. It is Krishna's pleasure. So, you know, he went to Prabhupada and he said that I enjoy Kirtan so much. And Prabhupada immediately corrected him that Kirtan is for Krishna's pleasure. It is not for our enjoyment. So,
Let me check that one second.
आप लीला ग्रुप में देखिए प्रभु जी
Oh yeah, I am very sorry. Yeah, I think I had scrolled down a bit ahead, and yeah, I'm sorry. So, Pavri, can you once again read it because I just got lost?
Okay, Pavri. So, Pradyumna, I was with Prabhupada many times when he met some of his godbrothers. He treated them very respectfully. The etiquette is that you're supposed to treat the godbrothers of the guru in the same way that you treat the guru, and you're supposed to treat your senior godbrothers, those initiated before you, in a particular way as well. That's Vaishnava etiquette. In the Gaudiya Matha, there's generally an emphasis on senior godbrothers, and Prabhupada also observed this. One time in Montreal, an Indian scholar came to see Prabhupada. Janardhan and I were there, and I was eager to hear from Prabhupada. I edged forward to get close because I wanted to catch every word. And I was a little ahead of Janardhan. Janardhan was not only older in age than me, but he had also been initiated before me. He was initiated at the first initiation Prabhupada did in New York. Prabhupada immediately said, "Ah, he's your elder brother. You should not sit in front of him." I was ahead of him, a little closer to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "You should move back. He is senior to you. A senior godbrother, this is the etiquette. Just like my godbrother, Tirtha Maharaj, he used to be called Kunjira. Actually, his name was Kunji Bihari Das, but everyone called him Kunjira. The Da means like the older brother or like the uncle. Everyone called him Kunjira because he was one of the most senior godbrothers. Similarly, Janardhan is your da. He is your elder brother, so you should give him respect. You should not sit before him." That was in early 1967 or 68 in Montreal.
Yeah, so here again, these etiquettes, these are like the eminence of the devotees. Sanatana Goswami mentioned this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll come across this, that how these etiquettes, they are the ornaments of devotees. And as much as possible, we should try to follow these things. See, for advanced devotees, these etiquettes will come spontaneously because they are directed by the super soul also to a lot of extent. And at the same time, because of the experience and advanced knowledge, they will be able to do these things. But for us, it is very important to also understand all these etiquettes thoroughly. And I think these are principles which are fully of common sense. You know, it is not something that we have to think over so much. Like, I mean, even in the family, we see that generally when the father will come, then we give first preference to the father, right? Then we give preference to our elder brother or our mother, like that. So it's a culture, and so this is devotional culture. This culture is seen throughout the Godlila, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very much emphasized this culture, and we can easily observe this in each and every lila of the Lord. Okay, so any questions on this?
No problem.
Yeah, okay. Aditya, are you there?
Yes, I am there. So I had a follow-up question. etiquette, yes, we do understand etiquette, how we behave with those who are senior, but also in terms of realization. So sometimes we see, oftentimes we see that there are devotees who are not, by age, they are not as senior, but by realizations, apparently it seems they are, they have deeper realizations, or they have much clearer realizations. They have knowledge. I won't just say knowledge, but realizations, and they seem more advanced. So in that case also, shouldn't that etiquette also be applicable there? Although sometimes it may be difficult for everyone to judge that, because age, seniority by age, or who gets initiated first, that is a chronological event that people may know. But are you understanding my question? I usually use many words.
Yeah, you, what you have shared is a very relevant and important concept to understand, because what we see is that there may be devotees who are not initiated, but maybe they are having a lot of enthusiasm and they have a lot of taste for devotional service, then other devotees who are initiated and probably they are not so enthusiastic, or they are not doing so much for the Lord. So it's a true fact. See, that is the reason, because we are not able to understand these things. And then obviously, over a period of time, we also see that slow and steady also wins the race sometimes in devotional service. It's not necessary that only the enthusiastic devotees, they win the race, because sometimes enthusiasm may lead to over-enthusiasm, and it can lead to a fall also. And then those who are going slow and steady, at least they are continuing their bhakti. But others may deviate also from the path. So it's true, you know, what we see, observe, that certain devotees probably, we feel that they are more enthusiastic, or they have more knowledge. But then I think it's a matter of faith also. It's a matter of experience also. It's a matter of time also. I think so many factors should be taken into evaluation. Otherwise, even if we accept that certain devotees who have come after us, they are showing more enthusiasm, they are doing more service. Yeah, that's right. But the moment they get initiated, maybe they also become slackened after some time. And then maybe they are also going slow, or maybe initially they are inexperienced, they are over-enthusiastic, they are immature. They will be more, obviously they will be doing more, they will get more. But once, so, you know, like maybe they are not married also, but once they get married, circumstances will drastically change, and then obviously that will affect their devotional life also. So it's not like, so it's a, not a litmus test that, okay, if you see someone like this, then it's assumed that they are more advanced. I think it is also a matter of time. So Prabhupada used to say that we measure the devotee by their current stance, by their current situation, not by their past, and neither in the future we think what is going to happen to them. Okay, so depending on that. Now, for this purpose, that's why these etiquettes are important, because unless we follow the etiquettes, we will be into a very judgmental mood, you know, or we will not be able to figure out what we should do in certain circumstances. So whatever etiquettes we have been given, we try to follow that. Now, obviously, see, sometimes it can happen that if devotees, they are guiding you, if they are mentors or they are gurus, maybe they might be younger in age to you. Okay, they might be, like, you know, for example, so many elder devotees, they are taking initiation from, you know, our current gurus in ISKCON. But the devotee's age is probably more than 60 plus, and the gurus, probably they are taking initiation, like, for example, Bhakti Samrit Maharaj, in future, you know, if they take, they will be younger to them. But one most very important principle stands hold here is, or the highest principle is, that the most advanced Vaishnava is the one who we are supposed to show maximum respect. That is the most important principle, the highest principle. So there may be lower principles, there may be many etiquettes and many principles, many etiquettes, lower etiquettes, higher etiquettes. So we have to always follow the highest etiquette, which is the most advanced devotee must be shown the most type of respect. Okay. And so it is not necessary that the most advanced devotee should be senior to us in any way. He can be junior to us also in terms of age, in terms of coming to Krishna consciousness. Now, generally, it is not, you know, so easy to say that juniors are very advanced and that's why we offer them respect so much. Why? Because, as I said, that time factor is also important into consideration that, okay, this year, you know, in these couple of years, they're doing wonderful. But after some time in the future, after their marriage, after their priorities will change, how will they conduct themselves? That is also an important question. So, so we even if we come across certain devotees like this, we show them good respect, but it's not necessary that we follow that, you know, or we offer them that kind of respect as the most advanced Vaishnava. When they become that most advanced Vaishnava, then definitely, you know, we will follow that. But for the time being, as far as, you know, the communities, they are connected to, everyone knows them by their, you know, services, by their enthusiasm. We offer them that kind of respect and we also praise them and we also encourage them. But finally, it is a matter of time. So how they evolve themselves in Krishna consciousness. So these things also will play some role. Okay, but at least in you know, in terms of our Gurujan, we can offer that kind of etiquette and respect to them. And especially if someone is like a senior devotee to us, you know, senior who has taken initiation earlier or who is elder to us, we give them that kind of respect. That's okay, you know, like certain things we can do it. But we cannot obviously, we cannot follow everything, but we at least we should have knowledge about certain things. So at least with our guru, we do that, you know, with our gurujans. And then obviously we also know about many other senior devotees in the movement that, you know, we should respect them also. And we should also give them that kind of treatment. Okay. So obviously, like, you know, for example, you might not even take guidance from a senior devotee, but the senior devotee, you have heard about him, you know him well because of, you have heard from many devotees that he has been doing a lot of services to Prabhupada and, you know, like, he's very committed, dedicated to Prabhupada. So if the senior devotee will come personally, then obviously you will stand up, receive him, offer your seat, or, you know, or also probably you may, as Prabhupada said, that he should be in the front and you should be behind him, like that. So these kind of things will be naturally happening to us, you know, because we know that we have heard so much glories about that deity. So even though they are not our gurujan, but still we'll offer that kind of respect and treatment to them. Right? So, that is the reason a Madhyama Adhikari is actually the one who actually discriminates, you know, and he is the one who uses the knowledge to discriminate and accordingly he will act. Otherwise, see, a neophyte, they cannot distinguish and they cannot discriminate. That is the reason what they do is they will give more respect to the less advanced devotee and least respect to the more advanced devotee because they are unable to. So now, for a very new devotee, for them, probably the most popular devotee is the most advanced devotee. We generally think like that in the beginning because this devotee is most popular. He has thousands of followers. That means he must be the most advanced devotee. And that is the reason probably we might give a lot of importance, respect, and, you know, we might only consider what he says and we might not respect others' opinion. So these things are there which a neophyte will not be able to distinguish or discriminate. That is the reason every devotee, at least they should come to a Madhyama standard, which means that they should gain knowledge and then they should discriminate. And accordingly, they should. So Krishna, in Naravi Sarkar, so Krishna Badnamrit book, he has mentioned this point that, you know, it is in order to advance, one must discriminate. If one does not discriminate and gives the equal treatment to both, you know, both types of devotees, then he will fall down from his bhakti. So it is very important that Madhyama, they should always discriminate and act accordingly. They cannot give same kind of respect that they give to their guru and to other devotees.
Oh, there's so much noise.
Yeah, it is disturbing something. But we can't hear you.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Only for now, yeah, 2-3 minutes, we could not hear anything.
But yeah, I don't know why. Maybe Vodafone network may be some problem. Because, I have not done anything. I have not muted also, and I am in the same position also, same location also. So, anyway, now you can hear?
Yeah, but now it's on.
Yes.
Yeah, so till what did you hear?
So, discrimination.
You said Madhava has to do discrimination.
What you said last we heard was that compared to that one should give their guru the highest amount of respect.
You cannot equally treat the guru and other devotees. You must have that kind of discrimination sense that you cannot treat and you cannot offer the same respect to the guru and to the other devotees. We have to use discrimination, and Krishna Badnamrit Narhari Sarkar states that if a very advanced Vaishnava will come, then we offer accordingly that much respect. Okay, so this is a measurement. If someone is very advanced, they will receive, even if they are advanced than their own guru, then they must be respected. One particular example he gives is that if the guru of the guru will come, so then you have to double the respect that you give to your guru. So to your param guru, you should double the respect, like that. Okay. So special treatment and respect should be for the gurus, and ordinary devotees also, we have to, ordinary in the sense that amongst devotees, other devotees. So now even amongst devotees also there is a categorization. There is the senior, there is the equal, and there is the junior. So from seniors, again, you take their mercy, you take their guidance, you take their blessings. From equals, you share Krishna consciousness, they will also share. So you pray for them, they will pray for you. And juniors, you give them mercy. Okay. So this is how actually a devotee is supposed to act. You cannot treat a junior as a senior. And you cannot treat your equal as a senior also. Okay. And you cannot treat your senior as an equal or a junior. So that much dissemination capacity one has to have. And then obviously, how the way you treat the guru, you know, that will matter a lot. So is this clear? Any more question on this?
No, Prabhupada.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so Nirvika Mataji, would you like to continue reading?
Yeah, just 1 minute. Okay, so this is from Bhaktivedanta Swami. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Once in Toronto, I was guarding Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada's door to his sitting room was glass, so while you were guarding him, you could look in and watch him as he was doing things. What impressed me most was Prabhupada's regulated schedule, japa, darshans, and how he read his own books. I thought, Prabhupada is reading his own books, so how important it is for us to read the books. If even the guru relishes his own books, then we should be relishing and appreciating them even more. Pradyumna. So, he read his books. Whenever he traveled on the plane, his secretary would bring a Bhagavatam. Prabhupada would say, where is the book? He would read the book and think, read, chant and think. He would read a Gita or a Bhagavatam or the Nectar of Devotion. He'd say, see, I read my own books. Who reads their own books? People don't read their own books. Therefore, they were not written by me. They were written by Krishna.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So this is the importance of reading Prabhupada books. We did discuss this elaborately in the last class also. That Prabhupada always said that he reads his own books, not because he has written, but Krishna has written these books. So. Yeah, so both Bhakti Tej Maharaj and Pradyumna Prabhu, you know, they had this experience of Prabhupada. And there was also Bhagavat Prabhu who had shared the experience that Prabhupada, you know, Krishna is personally coming and dictating every word to him. So it is very important to read Prabhupada's books very thoroughly, regularly. Okay, any question or comment on this?
No.
Okay, yeah, Nirvika, you can continue.
Sorry, I was just searching for it. If there are broken beads, they may simply be replaced. Without that, I have to chant on them. Once sanctified by the spiritual master, your chanting of Hare Krishna is eternally blessed. Letter to Bhinder, 8th December 1971.
This is also a very important principle. All the devotees, they should thoroughly understand that, because many devotees, you know, what they do is, if the beads are broken or they are lost, then they think that, the spiritual master will have to chant again because it has been broken now. Generally, see, if the spiritual master is available and if he is willing to do it, then okay, you can do it. But actually, on a principle level, this is not at all required. Why? Because Prabhupada, not only this letter, but there are a couple of other letters also, Prabhupada very clearly says that what I am purifying is the holy name. It is not the bead. Okay, so that is the reason there are devotees who are also chanting on counters. So does it mean that they are not connected to the potency of the holy name just because they are chanting on the counters, or they are chanting maybe on some other beads which, you know, they take it for traveling? No. What spiritual master has done, he has purified the holy name. Okay, now obviously holy name is always purified. There is no question of purifying the holy name. But what is the meaning here? The meaning here is that the spiritual master is empowering, or, you know, whatever, he is empowering the disciple to chant the holy name. That is the meaning. So that is the meaning that, you know, he's purifying the holy name. So now he's imparting that empowerment, but then finally it is up to us how we chant the holy name. Because even after his chanting of the holy name, we still commit aparadhas. So see, we can actually understand one thing, that this empowerment of holy name, chanting of the holy name or by the spiritual master, you know, this is all to encourage us. You know, it is they are giving their best, but then are we giving our best to them? If not, then what is the use of that? So just because the beads are broken or lost, and you know, if you are too much in that anxiety that, okay, whether the spiritual master will chant or not again, and they should chant, otherwise, you know, how will my chanting become? But we should not be bothered and worried about it, because he has already empowered us with the holy name. So keep continuing to chant. If he is unable to chant the holy name on the beats again, then just keep chanting, and it's the same thing. There is no difference. Okay, now you know, it's a very simple thing. The devotees, how many devotees after initiation, they felt like something miraculous has happened to them and drastically they have changed immediately after initiation. How many devotees have experienced this? After taking Diksha, how many devotees experience that all of a sudden, from Shraddha, or let's forget about Shraddha, because you cannot get initiated just at the level of Shraddha, at least you should have some Bhajan Kriya. So from Bhajan Kriya, how many devotees immediately came to the state of Nishtha after initiation? So just before, one day before initiation, they were at Bhajan Kriya, and then after initiation, they came up to Nishtha. How many devotees became, you know, they came to this stage? So initiated devotees, Ujjwala Mataji, Varsana Vallabhi Mataji, myself. How many of you have this experience? Did you come to the state of Nishtha? Or it required a long time process to follow? So, anyone would like to answer? Are you all there?
Yes, Prabhuji, we are here.
Okay. So what is your answer?
Prabhuji, so we are not initiated, so we do not have any comment on that, Prabhuji.
No, I am asking the initiated devotees. Ujjwala Mataji, Varsana Vallabhi Mataji. Are you there?
Yes, Prabhuji, I am there.
Yeah, so what is your experience, Mataji?
Prabhu, first I should try to chant nicely, Prabhu.
Yeah, so first of all, we are just struggling with our 16 rounds.
Yes,
what
Prabhu.
To speak of this anartha, nivritti, nishtha, asakti and all that.
Yes,
so see,
Prabhu.
It's a very simple principle that spiritual master definitely gives his best, but then finally it all depends on the disciple. And
yes.
And I will tell you one thing, that nothing changes at the time of initiation. You are the same person.
Hmm.
After and before, before and after, you are the same person. Okay. So it all depends on the disciple finally, how much efforts they are putting. Yeah, so it's not possible that during the time of initiation. So see, what is initiation? Initiation is just a formality process. What you are already doing, the guru is just formalizing that. Okay, but actual initiation happens right at the beginning. I mean, in the sense that when you accept the spiritual master and when you start following the instruction, that is the point where initiation has already happened. Okay, and when the guru is giving you, from external point of view, he is giving you the holy name, that means he is just formalizing that relationship. Because before initiation and after initiation, you are doing the same thing. So then what is new in that? So it is just a formal way to accept it, okay? So we should always know that. So I hope that devotees will understand this point and unnecessarily they will not bother their spiritual masters, not run behind them looking for an opportunity to chant on the beats, okay? Okay, yeah, Nirvika, you can, yeah.
Prabhuji, I wanted to just ask that after initiation, a person is supposed to become more serious and more dedicated towards their service, right? Because in one sense, and now you are connected to a parampara. So in that sense, there is somewhat a change, right?
This is a misconception that who says that at the time of after the time of initiation one is supposed to become more serious. That is what I'm saying. That after initiation initiation at certain point it will only formalize things for you, but you have to be already serious right from the beginning. You know, why you have to wait for initiation to become serious? If you are really sincere, why you have to wait for initiation to become serious?
I just meant that you are supposed to take your spiritual life even more seriously than what you're taking it right now. Like right now, suppose I might be taking it to some level seriously. But now since there is a formal commitment,
yeah,
there should be more seriousness. Like, let me put it that way.
That is the reason I said that initiation happened at the beginning itself. Which means the moment you accept the spiritual master and you accept that you want to follow the instruction, that is your initiation. That is actually real initiation. Prabhupada says that, in one place he says that when you accept the spiritual master in the heart and follow the instruction, that is where the actual initiation happens. That's a real initiation. Then other place Prabhupada, writes that, one more thing. The question is that why only in first initiation? You can also say that we are supposed to become more serious in second initiation. Actually, there is no first and second, as we know. There is only one initiation. But Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, they divided into two parts. Right? So it is actually only meant to encourage us to enhance us, so that and what is this formalization? Some kind of yajna, some kind of in the front of deities and in front of everyone. You don't even require that. If you are already following the spiritual master right from the beginning, okay, Krishna is already seeing all these things. It is only meant for us. It is not meant for some sincere advanced devotees, those who are actually advanced from their previous lifetimes. It is not meant for them. Because the moment they...
Most of us are not in that category. Then this is one step which makes us one become more serious. Like, he might already be more serious, but now take it more seriously.
See, it is again, that seriousness is also dependent on us. It is not, you cannot say that after initiation you will become more serious. That means you are depending on the external circumstances to make you more serious, which is never going to happen. That is the reason I'm saying that you yourself, when you decide that at this point of time I am going to be more serious in my spiritual life, let's not talk just about initiation at that point of time. Okay, what about your spiritual master giving you mercy in different ways before initiation? So why not the disciple is thinking at that point of time that I should now become more serious? Why he has to wait and he only thinks that I will become more serious after my initiation, when he formally initializes me? That means that, there was a wonderful quote by Mahatma Prabhu. He had, on Facebook I saw it, and such a relevant quote. He said that, do you want initiation or do you want guru? very apt words you have used. Do you want initiation or do you want guru? Because if you want initiation, that means basically what you want is some kind of status in ISKCON, some kind of recognition, some kind of appreciation or, you know, recognition from other devotees that, okay, you know, he's Maharaj disciple or he's this one disciple like that. But actually, the meaning of initiation is that, you know, it's very simple, that you follow the instruction of Guru, and for that, you can do at any point of time. You don't have to wait
but
for
anything. Not necessarily everyone will do this for status or something of that sort.
I'm telling you, 100% of the devotees, even after initiation, they will be the same person. I'm guaranteeing it 100%. I can even sign on stamp paper. If you behave in the same way till your initiation, I am signing it, you will also be like that after that. So see, at some point of time prior to your initiation, you have to decide that, no, I am not going to depend on initiation, but I have to be serious. When that point will come, that will be your real initiation. Okay. See, now obviously, initiation we have to take for sure. You know, that formality also has to be done. There is no doubt about it. But we cannot depend on that. And we cannot think or assume that, okay, after initiation, things will change for us. It will never happen. Whatever you are right now, you will be the same person after initiation. In fact, I will tell you one thing. After initiation, devotees become more complacent. Because, you know,
right?
Maybe the goal is over. The goal is over.
But initiation is your starting. Initiative is start. Yeah, but yeah, that could be, yeah.
Yeah, so okay. See, again, initiation is starting. Now, the starting point, as Prabhupada very clearly says, that when you accept the spiritual master in the heart, that is the beginning. That is the beginning point. Actually, you know, we think that the beginning point is when we take formal diksha. But that is not the beginning point. That is just a middle part where you are accepted officially by the spiritual master in front of all devotees, so that the entire devotee community will know that you are initiated. Now, if the spiritual master will not do it, then the devotees will not accept you as an initiated devotee, although you may be following the instruction. So this is also necessary. Right? So it's a middle part, you can say, that the beginning part is when you start following the instruction of the spiritual master. That is the beginning of spiritual life. See, that is the reason. It's a very simple thing. That is the now. What does the spiritual master do at the time of initiation? Tell me one thing. Very simple. What does he do at the first initiation?
In front of all the devotees and in front of the Lord, he accepts you as his disciple, takes charge of.
What you see, what he does, only one thing. He only gives Harinam.
Hmm.
Okay.
Hmm.
But this Harinam you have already received from Prabhupada by reading his books. You are already chanting before initiation. So what extra is doing? What extra the spiritual master is doing? He's not doing anything extra from that. Even when you are saying that he is taking charge of us, he is taking over karma, let me tell you that each and every limb of bhakti can dissolve your karma completely. You don't even require a guru for that. Okay, so guru is taking karma in the sense that the moment you start chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and the moment you start following the instruction of guru, right from that point of time, the guru is taking your karma. So whether it is the Siksha Guru or a Diksha Guru, Guru is one.
Hmm.
Okay, so the purpose of giving initiation is basically the first initiation is to empower the holy name and to accept formally. Now we are not taking that into consideration of acceptance. Now, see, there are many devotees who are accepted by the spiritual master before initiation. Right, you must be aware of that. In fact, Jayaprakash Maharaj has a process where devotees take shelter of him and he's accepting them that, okay, I accept you. Even Giriraj Maharaj.
Mm.
That is the beginning point. He has accepted, you know, that, okay, I accept you and in the future I will give you initiation. Which means what?
Mm.
So you come to the stage of 16 rounds of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but in that process, he is giving you knowledge. in that entire period when the spiritual master accepts you and then he starts guiding you. So this guidance is the most important factor. Anyways, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is purifying you. Anyways, whatever means of bhakti you are performing, this is all destroying your karma. So technically speaking, till the time of initiation, you must be a pure devotee. Because all karmas are destroyed, you have gotten rid of the offenses because you have got knowledge from Guru, and you don't fall, you know, you are following everything. That's, you know, the beginning means, you know, initiation beginning means you are a pure devotee. Start from there. So you know, this is what actually this is how we can understand that the beginning of initiation is basically acceptance of Guru in the heart and following the instruction. That is the reason if you refer to Shastra or if you ask any senior devotees, no one will tell you that if you are following sincerely instructions of Prabhupada, trying to please him or following the instruction of your Guru, and in the process if you die and if you don't take initiation before that, then no one will tell you that you have to come back to the material world. One consistent answer you will get from everyone, you can go back to Godhead because you were connected. You were connected to Prabhupada and you are receiving Shiksha of Prabhupada, and it is just a matter of formalizing that you are receiving that Shiksha through someone. Now, if the Guru has accepted you, that means your link is connected, even though he might not be able to formalize it because you passed away. But because he has given you that, you know, acceptance, approval, that means you are connected. So this is Shiksha. This Shiksha is not, and the role of Diksha is also Shiksha only. Diksha, that is the reason you said, you know, it's a beginning. So beginning means what? Beginning of receiving transcendental knowledge, which you are already receiving from Prabhupada's books, even before initiation. Karma is destroyed even before initiation. So, like, is this clear now?
Yeah, it is clear. This is a good point to explain to someone. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so, see, it's just a matter of our own taste in Krishna consciousness, our own purpose, our own motives, that, you know, if we want to become serious, there is no external factor we have to depend on. If I want to be serious, I have to be serious right now. I cannot say that when my spiritual master will give me second initiation, that time I will think about, you know, becoming more serious. That means that I have not understood. So, this is, the connection is only through Shiksha. And when the spiritual master knows that you are following his instructions, then he himself will actually make that formalization. So
is it because of this that sometimes we see some devotees after they get their initiation they become more serious, maybe because they feel that this is the thing that they needed it or something? Like, I personally know quite some devotees who I feel are doing more service. At least externally, maybe. I'm not sure what is internally going on in there, but externally they have taken up more services or something after they have got their initiation. Hello?
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Yeah. So see, I heard your question, but what I feel is, if you observe that some devotees, they become more serious after initiation, But I think maybe this is probably circumstantial, in the sense that I think every devotee over a period of time will realize that this material world is giving a lot of misery, and whatever happiness we are trying to find in the material world, it is temporary, and many times it will shake us thoroughly. So I think automatically over a period of time, any devotee, now see, maybe certain devotees, they might get initiated soon, but it might take, you know, after a few years, like 5 or 6 or 7, 8 years down the line, after the initiation, they might realize this fact. And then there are devotees who might get initiation late, you know, maybe they have already spent their 10 years in Krishna consciousness. But you see, when you are chanting for that much time, when you are associating, we are hearing regularly for that much time, then you come to a realization where you have to get serious. You know, there is no other way. So I think it also depends on the number of years a devotee is spending, and obviously the quality of their Krishna consciousness. If a devotee is reading, hearing regularly every day, they are chanting every day, they are serving every day, this realization comes faster. So now, so certain devotees, they are advanced by their own selves, you know, because probably they have realized quite early. And that is the reason they don't wait for initiation. They just keep moving on. And there are devotees, maybe after a few years down the line, you know, they realize this. So maybe it is possible that, you know, certain devotees after initiation, it seems like that maybe they have become more serious. But in any case, I think time is wasted. You know, time factor is very important. So a devotee who is sincerely serving the Lord, normally they should advance quite quickly. Okay, I mean, compared to the other devotees. And I think they will come to this realization very quickly that there is no enjoyment in the material world, and it gives a lot of frustration also. So they will become more serious, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah, and then obviously, see, there is another principle that it also depends on the... I mean, see, like, there are cases where a guru, you know, gives himself to a disciple, you know, and it can, that can take a long process also to fructify. So, like, you know, guru can give a lot of time to a devotee or a disciple just because probably they need that kind of thing. Okay. But ultimately... finally, it is always up to the disciple how much quickly they can take it. So, like, you know, Maharaj spends, I mean, I think, you know, many gurus and sannyasis, they are spending a lot of time with popular leaders of the country. I mean, whenever they are invited, they are giving their personal association, they are spending time with them. But how many of them they are taking to Krishna consciousness? Very difficult for them to, you know, even start chanting the holy name. Very, 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 very rare people will do it. So it's not just the mercy of the guru, but even the efforts of the disciple. You know, these things should be there.
How much are they able to absorb and understand the mercy aspect that is coming from the guru?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that depends on the receptiveness of the person.
Hmm. Yeah, receptivity of the person.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's a simple thing that if it is raining on rocks, right, so nothing will grow out of it. And if it is raining on a field, then immediately the entire tree can grow from it. So a person is like a rock, then even the pure devotee can, you know, try to benefit them. But finally, it's up to them also to receive it. And then obviously there is the extreme side of, you can say that, the guru's mercy. You know, if they want, even rocks can become trees. So that is extreme, like you can say that, the special mercy of the guru, which is very rare. You know, special mercy of Krishna, special mercy of guru. In the Nectar of Devotion, it is mentioned that Krishna's glance, Krishna's vachan. You know, if Krishna says something, and a devotee's mercy. These three factors are the kripa, shakti. So if these are bestowed, then anyone can become a devotee. But these are extraordinary things. Yeah.
Okay.
And see, I mean, seriousness also, you know, it can, it's a deep thing. You know, seriousness can actually, it should be external, internal both. Because many times it may manifest externally, but internally, the depth of the Krishna consciousness is quite low. So then actually the disciple has not even connected to the guru properly. Like a guru may favor someone, you know, or favor some disciple or a devotee. But and if they are just dependent on the external characteristics of the guru, they are not connected well with the Lord, then it's not truly being serious. So both ways it should develop, internally, externally, both ways. So see, that is the reason I say that when you are connected to a guru means you are connected to the super soul. That should happen. We have to come to the stage where we connect to the super soul through the guru's mercy. And then we'll not realize or will not feel the absence of the guru, or will not crave only for the external form of guru. Right? That's how Prabhupada was always saying that I am never separated from the guru, even for a moment. He's always with me. So guru and Krishna are simultaneously, these are also parallel lines. 50-50, Prabhupada said. So guru has to give you Krishna. You know, you cannot be on a sentimental platform from within and externally trying to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Your external, internal, both should go together. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I hope this is okay. So any other devotees, any final comment or question?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, can you hear me? Hello.
Yes.
I have a question. I wanted to know, Guru Maharaj, Jagannath Swami stresses a lot on hearing and chanting. And
I'm not able to hear clearly. Do you want to know about?
My question is that Jagannath Swami, he stresses a lot on hearing and chanting. Like in his classes, he can you hear me now?
Yeah, if you can be a bit louder.
Okay, I'll be a bit louder. So Guru Maharaj, he stresses a lot on hearing and chanting. So I wanted to know if hearing and chanting 16 rounds alone is sufficient to go back to Godhead, or extra efforts are needed. I mean, what else is, like, you know, your short way of attaining liberation, or just at least, you know,
okay,
falling into modes of nature, at least, you know, like being equipoised and remaining in goodness, mode of goodness, or above, ideally.
Okay, so the question is 16 rounds and hearing enough to go back to Godhead, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The entire goal is to please Krishna. And to please Krishna means to render service to him, because that is the final goal that all the devotees they strive for. And so the entire purpose of sadhana is to please the Lord and to serve him, right? Even in chanting, when we are chanting the holy name, we are also praying to the Lord that please engage me in your service. So now, so the service, you know, is actually the culmination of what we are doing. And depending on our situation, the service will change. Okay. So if we are in a responsible situation, position, and if we are able to do service, and in spite of that we are not doing service, then it is doubtful that we can go back to Godhead, because Prabhupada also said that distribute my books, distribute, preach Krishna consciousness, you know, and read my books thoroughly. So along with hearing, you know, obviously Prabhupada also expected the devotees to read his books regularly, thoroughly, every day. So if we are, and then obviously to associate, see, it's an entire package. You cannot isolate one principle with the other principle. So one cannot say that, okay, just by chanting the holy name, I can go back to God. Yeah, it can happen, provided your service is only chanting the holy name, or the Lord wants from you is only chanting the holy name. If the Lord wants from you only hearing, because see, there are limbs of bhakti which have been perfected by devotees. Right? We know the examples of devotees, the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam. So Shravanam was perfected by what? Whom? It was perfected by Parikshit Maharaj. Kirtanam was perfected by Sukhdev Goswami. But understand one thing very clearly, that along with perfection of these limbs, they also attain knowledge. They have also attained knowledge. They have also heard from their guru. Okay, so it is, so one cannot say that you can perfect in just one limb of bhakti and you don't have to consider other limbs of bhakti. No. Especially in Kali Yuga, chanting of the holy name has to be there. And if you want to chant the holy name purely, knowledge has to be provided. Knowledge has to be there. And how you chant the holy name, that will also, for that you have to render service to the Lord. Because chanting the holy name, you also get trained yourself. When you perform service, you get trained yourself to render service in a proper spirit, accepting the authority and humbly serving the authority. So that approach, that spirit is required for chanting the holy name. Then only the holy name will reveal itself to us. Right? So, along with knowledge, we also require service. And if we are chanting the holy name, then this is sufficient to take us back to Godhead. Now, obviously, if there is a special situation where devotees are not able to render service, and the only thing they are able to do is hear, come together, re-chant, and then maybe, you know, the special consideration will be taken into consideration, special circumstances. And finally, I think it is, you know, up to Srila Prabhupada's mercy, you know, how we will go back to Godhead. I think, now see, there is one more thing. Prabhupada said, you know, one Prabhupada disciple, he shared this. He said that one time Prabhupada said that for my initiated devotees, max to max up to 3 lifetimes. So Prabhupada said like that. Okay, so for initiated devotees in ISKCON, maximum they will have to take 3 lifetimes. And that would mean that maybe this is the first birth, this is the next, and probably this is the second birth, or maybe this is the third birth. Who knows that? Only Prabhupada knows, or Krishna knows that. So now, if it is your third birth, and if you are only chanting and hearing and reading, I think you will go back to Godhead. Okay, if it's your second birth, then maybe you have to wait for another year. It all depends what you have done in your Krishna consciousness. So, you know, you may be in a special circumstances, but in the past, what you did in your Krishna consciousness will also decide your current status. So if you are thoroughly Krishna conscious, like maybe around, you know, 75% time, then yeah, you can go back to Godhead just by hearing and reading or chanting in those special circumstances. But if there are ordinary circumstances, then I think it's a package where we have to render service and we have to take association, we have to take guidance, and you know, we have to hear, read, chant. These things have to be done. Then we can say, because Prabhupada said that if you give this one life to Krishna, then in this lifetime we'll go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada, he always mentioned this point that you know, if you give this life means, you know, if you dedicate your entire day, you know, for Krishna service, or even let's even talk about 75%. If you can do it, 75% of the day if you're Krishna conscious, and if you do it for years to come, then Prabhupada has given you the ticket to go back to Godhead. So by Prabhupada's mercy, one can go back to Godhead. So So this, going back to Godhead, is a very case-specific question. It cannot be generalized, you know, because every devotee situation is different. Right? But in general, the principle is at least give 75% of your time in Krishna consciousness, and at the end of the life, you'll go back to Godhead for sure, because Prabhupada has given that benediction. So, does that make sense? Hare Krishna. Alisha Madhuri, are you there? Any other devotees? Are you there?
Yes, Prabhupada.
Yeah,
okay, you are all there. But the devotee who asked question, I don't know if she's there. Okay. Anyways, any devotees have any question on this?
No, Prabhupada. Not from my side.
Okay, so let's we can close now, and so I thank all the devotees for joining. So hopefully from next week, next Saturday or Sunday, I will let you know which is the day. But this time is convenient to all of you.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, all right. So thank you all the devotees for joining. Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pram to everyone.
Thank you,
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
I have a...